Chasing China.
Ni hao and welcome back everyone to Chasing China. I'm Zara, your host and guide through the mesmerizing journey of expat life in Beijing. Whether you're a seasoned expat, considering a move, or simply curious about life in China, this podcast is here to offer you a front row seat to see what it's truly like to live, work, and thrive in Beijing. But before we dive into today's episode, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on the exciting and valuable insights our guests have to offer. Now, without further ado, let's get started on another adventure of Chasing China. Today we have a truly special guest with us, Diana, a vibrant soul from Colombia, but she lived in Germany for almost 6 years. Now she's living in Beijing with her husband and will share her unique perspective and experiences. She's a founder and a driving force behind a fantastic community, Boss Ladies, a WeChat group and a space where expat women come together to connect, share experiences and build lasting friendships. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I'm happy to be here today.
I start every interview with a funny little game, so I will throw out a word or phrase related to China, and you have to share the first thing that comes to your mind. So, first word is Chinese traffic.
Horrible.
Chinese favorite food.
Jianbing.
What is that?
Jianbing is like this pancake with veggies and sauce.
And you get it on the street, right?
Exactly. It's delicious. Yeah.
Okay. English in China.
Interesting.
A funny stereotype about China or Chinese people?
That China doesn't have any technology, like it's all country.
Okay, interesting. And Beijing winter?
Beautiful, I love it.
But now, could you tell our listeners what brought you to China in the first place and how long have you been here?
So, it brought me the work of my husband. Like he was sent to China 3.5 years ago, yeah. So we came together and for me it was like the start all over that I already knew from Germany.
Okay, great. And how has your experience been so far?
Well, my experience has been wonderful. I think one of the best opportunities that you can have is to live abroad because it can change you and it shows like the real you. China so far has been amazing, but it's always like what you do from that experience. Like no one can do the job for you.
Yeah, I totally agree. But let's talk about the Colombian community. So I know you're a proud Colombian girl. So is there a Colombian community here? And if yes, can you tell us about this community?
Yeah, I think I'm much more into the German community than into the Colombian one. But yeah, there are like some Colombians here, not that much. But I don't know, like normally we just meet like on the embassy things and... Yeah, I have more German friends than Colombian friends, actually, yeah.
That's good. Good that you like the German community as well. Are there specific events or activities organized by the Colombian community or embassy?
Yes, normally they do always something for the Women's Day. So, and also for the Colombian Independence Day. So it's like to get together and show what the Colombian embassy has been doing here in Beijing or in China generally, but they try to keep the community together because there are like really less Colombians here. I think 160 or something. It's pretty less if you think we have 25 million people in Beijing. Like, yeah.
That's very interesting. Do you know how big is the German community compared to that?
No idea. Like I think just from some companies, they have like 700 German experts.
Yes, I think the German community is huge. And especially if one company already has, I don't know, 700 German employees. So I hope I can look that one up and tell you guys in the next episode. But the German community is pretty big here. But I know that you also worked here for a bit. Could you tell us a little bit about this time in your Beijing life?
Yes, like about work, as I say, like we came. And it was like to starting from zero. So I started doing my own network here and check where could I find a job like that fits to my studies. And I have already changed my job like 3 times actually. No, so it's not that I get bored. Like, actually, I was pretty happy at one position, but it was like just working for a project, so I needed to leave the project. But yeah, it has been really interesting. I think if you want to do something, you can do it. It was the same for me. Like, I mean, I cannot speak any Chinese, and you, if you want it, I know it sounds cliche, but you know, if you want it, you really can do it. Like, there is always a way for things.
Okay, that's very interesting that you tell me that, because I also heard from a lot of other people who are looking for a job for a long time now, but they don't find it. And that's actually in one of the next episodes, I will also talk about that a little bit more. But for you, it seems it is so easy to find a job. What do you think is like crucial, or what are the reasons behind? Is it also like in Germany, you say vitamin B, is it all about contact, or why do you think it was so different for you?
Well, I think I have already the German experience. So I came to Germany with no language, actually with no bachelor, you know, like I was studying at the time, and it was possible to me also to continue doing something. What I think here, I think some people just expect like things to come smoothly in life, generally. And that's bad, you know, because if you want something, it's going to cost a lot of effort and nerves on something. But those are the best things. Like, now I'm telling you, oh, I changed my job 3 times, but I'm not telling you I was waiting for my work visa like 3 months and they were rejecting me and telling me no, and I was researching by myself, what do I need? So now a small story. When I came to China, my first week, I went like to this introduction or like integration breakfast. So when someone asked me like, yeah, what are your plans in China? I told them like, oh, I want to work. And they were laughing at me. I was so mad because they're like, hey, it's not possible. You can dream about it. And I was like, well, I don't believe in dreams. I believe in goals. So I told them exactly the same. I was like, well, it's not my dream, it's my goal. Let's see. And 5 months later, I was working already, you know? So I think some people expect the things to come smoothly. I think also, I don't want to sound mean, but for some Europeans, you know, you have this perfect system in your countries. So everything is working pretty good. You're getting everything what you need normally. And in a foreign country, you are no one. You need to do your path by yourself. And I think when we are as spouses, like being the company of our partners, we also think we see their example and we say, hey, they are giving you your work visa in your hand and they are giving you the job in your hand. It should come the same way for me. No, it's going to cost a lot of time, money, effort, nerves, but at the end it's worth it. Like, I think whatever you want is worth it. The most in a country like China, you know. Maybe because I'm an engineer, then I have like more technical possibilities to say like that. But I know also people on marketing, on human resources, you know, like they get it. Business, international business. So like you can get it for everything. Like if you have something, just go and find it.
Wow, that's a very impressive mindset. I love that. Yeah, you just have to fight for the things you want, right? So maybe I'm a bit naive, but I try to go through the world like that. Like if you want something, like just try to get it. Of course, you don't get everything you want, but that's life, you know, and then you also appreciate the things you get at the end. So it's very nice to get this perspective on things, because I think in future episodes we also get an opposite perspective on finding a job here. So it is nice to hear also success stories about that. And yeah, well, great. That's a very great start. So let's move on. As I mentioned in the beginning, you are a founder of an amazing community here. So can you share with us the story behind the creation of the Boss Ladies WeChat group and what inspired you to start this community?
Yes. Well, this project, like this community, was created with the aim of promoting the integration among people in Beijing. I started 5 months after I arrived to Beijing. So I observed that some people tended to frequent the same places and do the same activities. So after that, I hence my decision to do something better, like to do something different. And I initiated the planning of these activities for women the most. And yeah, as a result, women started like inviting other women into the community, and now we are 500, I guess. Like we are at the maximum, and we started just being 5 persons in the group. Yeah. So the aim was like to integrate yourself, because if you are in Beijing, you cannot say you're living the real China life if you always go to the same Western restaurant. You really need to get in to know the locals, because I think it's a pity that after 3, 4, 5 years, 8 years, as I know some, you say, oh, I went always to the same place and I did this. So I think integration comes 50-50, you know, you need to be open to know what expects you. And people need to be also, Chinese need to be also able to help you and to show you what you ask for.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. Also in the last episodes, I talked about that it is hard getting to know local Chinese people also because of the language barrier. But with the help of these kinds of communities or WeChat groups, there are actually Chinese people who are great in English and who wants to connect. But I have a curious question. Why Boss Ladies?
Why Boss Ladies? Because we started just 5 persons, you know, like we knew each other. So I was trying to give that empowerment to women, you know, like do something with your time. Don't be just expecting what your partner after 10 hours of work is expecting you to do with him. You know, you can also have ideas. So for me, it was more like a motivation for them, like be the boss, go for it. And then I never changed the name when it started growing and growing, because many people was telling me like, oh, I love the name. So I was like, okay, you like it, then we keep it.
That's funny. And a good name for the group. So you created Boss Ladies around 3 years ago. How have you seen the Boss Ladies community evolve over the years? What steps did you take to foster a sense of belonging also among the members?
Well, after my opinion, a sense of belong to a community comes just to you, you know. I give everyone in the community the tools for that. So I plan many different things and I give them all the feeling, look, if you want to plan something by yourself, go for it. Let us do it together. Because, you know, with 500 people, you need to have like this control, so to say, who is planning what, you know, because I love a structure and I love to plan things pretty well. So, but I think that the concept of belong to something comes to you. You have all the empowerment tools that I give you, all the motivation that I give you, all the communication. They decide what they do with that. Like, that's all what I can offer.
Yes, exactly. And that is your job as a group leader. And the job of everyone else is to use these tools and make the best out of it. And the good thing is that everybody can decide this for their own, right? So nobody has to join every activity. And that's the great thing about such a group and all the diverse activities you're offering. But let's talk now about the development of Boss Ladies. So did the group change over the last years? Well, I guess you have much more members now, and Boss Ladies also survived COVID, right? So what are your observations regarding this?
Well, I think, as you say, like, I never expected the group to be that big. I remember I wanted to close the group once, and I told like two of my closest friends, and they were like, no, don't do that because it's so cool and it's such a motivation. So I remember we did like these ladies' nights, so we went to eat together. And then my two friends started asking everyone what they love from the community. And I was so impressed, you know, from everything what everyone was saying, like, yeah, I meet all my friends from your group. Yeah, I got this job from your group. So I think it's nice. I think now we are planning much more activities, because the most of the activities are done for women that are in the group. And they say, hey, I'm a psychologist or I'm a yoga teacher. I can do this for you. So I think now we have expanded much more this scope of, okay, we have a variety of people in the group and they can do different things. That will be for me like the biggest change. And we started, there is one person that I need to give like the most of the credits for this. And it's one person that helped me to do like this magazine, like this digital magazine, because she always told me she loves the ideas and she loves always the stories that I tell her when we were meeting. And she told me, let's do a magazine for the community. And I told her, I don't have the time. I mean, because I work, you know, so I need really to check if I have time or not. And I'm a person, I think I say much more in my life no than yes. So I told her from the very beginning no. And she insisted so much that I told her, okay, let's make the trial. And we have the magazine already since 1 year. So I think that also changes a lot, because I go to restaurants and then I write about the restaurant. And two other ladies, they told me like, hey, do you need a hand with the magazine? I'm free, I'm a spouse, and I'm good at this. I want to help you out. So I'm happy. I told them, it's your magazine. Do whenever you want, you know. When they tell me, I want to write about this, what do you think? I'm like, you are free. Just go. And it's really cool.
Oh, I haven't seen the magazine yet. You have to send it to me. Maybe we could do an article together, maybe about the podcast, so we get new exciting guests.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. Yeah.
So great. So it's so impressive talking to you about that. You are not only a founder of this group, you are also working, you are a wife, you are a writer. So that's pretty impressive, I would say.
Thank you so much.
So we talked a lot about the general construct of this group, but what are you doing? Like, what kind of activities or initiatives do you organize within the group to keep the members engaged and connected and busy?
Well, we do a lot. We do cooking courses. We do like workshops about like self-development, and we do some sport. Where else? We go for walkings. I don't want to be like that nerd. We go, of course, to drink and we do party. You know, like there is everything. Like sometimes when I found a good restaurant, I always try to ask if they can give us this good deal. And if they say, yeah, you get some discount or something, I'm like, okay, then you have me in with the ladies. And I always, that's funny, when I plan something, I always do a reservation between 5 to 20 persons. Because I'm telling you, worst case, you will have 5, I promise you. Best case, you will have more than 20. So people are always prepared, you know, because I'm always aiming for motivating people to do new things.
That's great. That would be my second question. Like, how many people in general join these activities? So you said between 5 to 20?
Or more. It depends. I remember one of the most like shocking things that I got once was on the second birthday. No, that was the first birthday of the boss ladies. Like I reserved some tables in this restaurant, and at the end we were 90 persons. Like I was really impressed when everyone was like, I was overwhelmed because I wanted to eat, and I remember my husband told me like, I will sit far away from you, because we were eating and everyone was like, oh, Jordiana, hi Diana. And I was like, I was really surprised.
Yes, 90 people, that's impressive. And just for the listeners, at some events, also the husbands are allowed. But yeah, let's go over to the next question. In what ways has Boss Ladies made a positive impact on the lives of expat women in Beijing? And are there any memorable stories or moments that stand out?
Well, I think a lot. The most is for me when someone's tell me like, hey, I'm working, thanks, I got this position because I meet someone from the group that could help me out to find this position. Or also in COVID times, it was really difficult. Like, I don't know if people know about like this zero COVID policy in China and so on. So I was trying to keep people motivated, you know. For me, it was like we were walking a lot, doing a lot of sports, because I was thinking, yeah, open area, you don't need a test, let's go for a wellness or something, you know. So I think that's the impact. At the end, I think we need to acknowledge that we are the only ones that can take what I say at the very beginning, like how something is going to impact on us. Like, I can offer the best things and I can offer the best possibilities. But if someone doesn't want to have this impact in a positive way in their lives, then I can't do anything, because at the end, we are the responsibles from our life, from our things. So, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree. And talking about responsibility, building and managing such a community is a huge responsibility and can come with its challenges. So could you share some of the difficulties you faced and how you've overcome them?
Well, you know, all humans are different. And when you have also different cultures, it's also difficult. So I think the biggest challenges are like communication. Also like to see where is the goal of everyone, you know, like my goal is just to help people to do the most with that network. As I say, they decide if they do or not. Of course, there have been problems because sometimes people have too high expectations from things. I have super high expectations, but actually on myself, not rely on someone else or not rely on an event or a party. Of course, that I wonder it goes well, but for the reason I put the expectations on myself. So of course, there are communication problems. I think we women, we thrive to be much more sensitive and we thrive to apologize a lot. What I see when I work with my male college, they don't try for that, you know, they are different. So I think one of the most important things is communication and respect. So when I see someone is being disrespectful, that's for me like a no-go. So I told them like, sorry, I just tell them, please leave the group or something, because it's for me a thing that I don't want anyone else to live with them, like that kind of situation, you know. So
does that happen often, like people being disrespectful in the group?
Thank God, no. It happens, if I think now, just twice. Once it was also like one person that went, it was not even one event. It was like this lady that was having like her own business. And she went there and the lady just freaked out because the other lady didn't want to give her like this appointment. So when I started doing the research, you know, because I need to list in both parts, the lady that was complaining for the other one, she came 1 hour late. And that's a thing, if you Latin people are hearing, I hate that. Don't be late. That's so horrible. Like, I don't know why people are late. That's so disrespectful. So for me, you know, I don't like that. You need to apologize. If you are late, say why, you know? It's not like, oh, I'm late 1 hour, sorry. So, you know, those are small things that could harm someone pretty bad. So for that reason, I always try to have the control. And I also have these group rules, so they need to keep group rules and check on it.
That's interesting. So you put these rules in the group, right? Can you give us like maybe two or three examples for the rules?
Yes. First is like to stay on the topics. Like, don't come to me now talking about like political topics, for example. It's not just because of the scope of China. It's just think about when I think in Colombia or in Germany. If you talk about politics, people start freaking out because everyone has a different point of view. So for me, we need to stay in harmony and we need to stay peaceful. So if you want to talk about it, of course, you can discuss in person so then you can calm down the persons and so on. That's the one. Second is not advertising, because you have in WeChat, like you can have different groups. And I don't want my group to be like this advertising, repeat advertising that you can see in other 5 groups.
Yes, and that makes sense because we are all in so many groups that the less advertisement, the better. And yes, in general, I think these are good rules. Maybe one last question regarding the groups. So you said you have 500 ladies in this group. Can you give us a short overview? What kind of women do you encounter there? Like what nationalities, what ages, moms, working, not working? So what are the boss ladies? Who are they?
Wonder Woman, all Wonder Woman. So there's a mix, a huge mix. Like I know one of the youngest is like 23 years old and one of the oldest is 60 something. Yeah. Our oldest member just left China in December. That was so sad. But they are old, you know, like all the mix, like people, child-free people, people with kids, expecting moms, new moms, woman with their own business, woman that are working for companies, woman that just want the namaste and live pretty peacefully, you know, and normal as you can live and so on. So I think that mix is the most important thing. So I remember once someone asked me like, hey, can I add my friend to the group? She's not a business owner. And I was like, should be a woman, you know, because you need to own your things. You need to be so happy with yourself. You just have to love yourself that much and have that self-confidence that you can like just show the world you better. So that's the thing.
Oh, and just one other question popped into my mind. There will be one day when you leave China. So what will happen to this group?
Well, the question, that question has been asked to me, I think, since I started the group. So I have 2 persons on my mind, which I will hand over the group. They already told me no, but I already started changing their minds. Those are the 2 ladies that helped me with the magazine, actually. So they are amazing. One is from Slovenia, the other one is Mexican, and they are also accompanying their husbands here, but like, how fantastic they are with their own planning, with their ideas. That's amazing, you know? And that's the thing. I'm trying to show them how amazing they are so that they know they are absolutely capable to keep this group. So if they both tell me no, I think I will close the group. Or if at least someone tell me, hey, I want to have the group and I know the person and I know really they can nail it, then I will do it.
So if I'm not successful with my podcast, I maybe think about that. And now, for those looking to create their own communities, what advice would you offer based on your experiences with Boss Ladies?
Well, it might again sound like cliche, but I think if you want something, no one will do the job for you. No one will have your harmony, no one will have your creativity, no one will have your ideas. So I think you just need to try it, because if you have an idea, you never know how good it can go. What is the worst thing that can happen? That you think in the future, oh, remember when I started this? Yeah, it was dumb. It never worked out. But you gain some experience. You gain experience with having fun. You gain experience with knowing people. You get experience on knowing, I will never do that again, you know? So just go for it. Like, I think the most important thing to have one community together is that you need to work on yourself first, what I say. Like, you need to be so happy with yourself that you can give that good energy to the others, that they feel you, you know, like that you don't have to introduce yourself, because you are going to give everyone this good vibe. Because at the end, I think that's a problem nowadays for us, for a generation, with this social media, that you are just looking for the best one, for the get ready with me, and some things that are just useless for your daily life. Because if you go to Instagram and YouTube, you just see get ready with me, but no one is showing you how you need to work on your own self, in your interior. So work on yourself, be happy, know what you want. We will never know definitely what we want. You know, we are humans, we change our minds. So just try it, why not?
Great, perfect. That sounds good. I hope we could animate some people for creating their own communities. I think there are a lot of open-minded people for that here. Well, thank you for joining us today and sharing your thoughts. But before we say goodbye, I have one final question that I'll ask every guest on this episode. So if, after your time in China, you were to return to your home country or another place, what aspect, habit, or behavior will you bring with you?
So I think that we all change when we live abroad with all our perspectives, you know, because we are away from home. We don't have, at the very beginning, anyone to rely on. So I think one of the most important things that Germany, actually, not even China, that Germany showed me is that I can do many things by myself alone. And I actually, what you are not going to believe, because you always see me like planning these things with people, I love the time when I'm alone. So I have 3 days in the week that I see no one and I just concentrate on myself. And that thing, I owe all that experience to Germany. So I think China was the exam, the practical exam that Germany taught me to know, okay, you really need to be comfortable with you. You really need to know your goals and you really need to keep time for you, for your health and everything. So I might say China has been a great experience, but for me, the country that taught me everything, how to survive and how to be happy in life and abroad, was Germany for sure. Like, China was just like the cherry on top.
Wow, that's amazing. Great. Thank you so much. It has been a pleasure to have you here and the founder of such an incredible group as a guest. And I'm sure that this episode will help many people who are planning to move to China but are worrying about making friends and getting in touch with people. So thank you so much.
Welcome. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much. It was a really nice experience to be here.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Diana. And for next week's episode, I'd like to let you decide. Choose what you'd prefer to learn about in the next episode. Would you like to hear more about having dogs in Beijing or about starting your own startup? Your opinion matters. Cast your vote and let us know which topic interests you the most. Once again, thanks for joining Chasing China. Subscribe to stay updated and stay tuned for more adventures. Until then, Zai Jian and happy chasing! I want to remind you that everything shared on this podcast is based on my own opinions, experiences, and perspectives. I don't want to judge or impose my views on anyone. Every journey is unique, and I appreciate you being a part of mine. Thanks again, and see you next time. Take care.